1 Corinthians chapter 2. We continue our study today. And just as a reminder, next week our schedule of service is going to be a little bit different. We're not going to have our regular Sunday morning Bible school classes at 9:30. We're only going to have worship, and worship will happen at 10:30. Maybe it will be a little longer than our normal worship service, but that's okay. Amen. We can do a little longer on Easter Sunday, but the idea and the goal is that we focus all that we are to worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But right now, I invite your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. This morning we'll go through 6 through 10, then tonight, Lord willing, we'll finish up this chapter 2. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for Your guidance. I pray, Lord, that You will speak to us through Your Word today. We pray, Lord, that You would take Your Word, give us understanding, give us insight, and teach us how to apply it, Lord, so that each day that we live, we may live and grow for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, I pray that for those that are here this morning that do not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be that day. I pray that You will draw them to You, convict of sin, and that, Lord, they'll respond to the message of the cross. Lord, we love You, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just to remind you, this study is all about having a biblical worldview. That's what Paul is trying to teach the folks at Corinth, is how to have a biblical worldview. Now, a biblical worldview is looking at everything in life through the lens of Scripture. That you will look at the things through life very simply. You agree with what God's Word says, and you disagree with anything that's contrary to God's Word. That's a biblical worldview. And so Paul, in writing today to the church at Corinth, he opens with a statement there in verse 6, and I want to call your attention to it. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. What wisdom are we talking about? We're talking about the wisdom of God. And the first thing you need to understand is what wisdom really is. The word wisdom is not just intelligence. Wisdom is knowledge and or intelligence and knowing how to use that intelligence in the correct way. Paul said, we speak among this wisdom among those who are mature. Now, that's the one we've got to get. We've got to get who Paul's talking to here. That word mature, it actually has two meanings. It means adult, and it also means complete. So the first thing I want you to understand is when Paul uses this word mature, he's talking to saved people. People who are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed godly wisdom makes no sense to those who are not saved? They don't get it. You wonder, why, you know, what is so plain to you? Why doesn't the world understand? It's because of this. They're not complete. They can't get it by themselves and apart from revelation of God. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But the second thing I want to notice, I said this is about, Paul is writing to those that are adults or mature in the faith. And which would indicate those who are saved, but also literally those who are growing up in their relationship with God. Now I want you to chew on that for just a second. Let's pause. Those who are growing into adulthood in their relationship with God. I want to tell you something. There is a passionate desire among those who are saved and maturing to hear and apply God's wisdom. I'm going to say that one more time because I want you to get it. If you're saved and you're maturing, there should be a passionate desire for you to gain the wisdom of God. All right? It just makes sense. And with that in mind, this is where we're going to pause, and we're going to take account of the importance of a spiritual education. Now, we focus in our culture today, we focus very heavily on education. We send our children to school, and we start them in kindergarten, and there's 13 years from kindergarten to 12th grade that we send them to school so that they can grow up and learn, and that's fine. But after they graduate from high school, they go to another school, and they do 4 years of college. That's fine. For some of them, that's not enough. They go to graduate school and get master's and doctorate's degree, and that's fine. Why do we send our kids through all that, so many years of education? Because we want them to grow up, get a job, and get out. Right? Young people, make no mistake, your mom and dad loves you, but they want you to grow up, get a job, and get out, right? And then bring back grandbabies. Right? There's nothing wrong with the secular education. Now, you know, there are a lot of things that we would disagree with that they try to teach in some secular institutions. But the idea is that education helps you to grow up and to be useful and grow into a useful citizen that contributes to society. Right? Now let's stop and let's apply the same mentality to a spiritual education. Oh wait, we don't do that. Why don't we do that? Why isn't a spiritual education just as important as a secular education? I'll tell you something. It is just as important. It's even more important. Because what happens is, and when I say spiritual education, do you go to Sunday school class? Stepping on a few toes here. A lot of people have the idea, well, Sunday school is for kids. Well, if that were true, you'd bring your kids to Sunday school, right? I love you. But Sunday school, we do have children's classes, but we also have adult classes. Why? Because you need to grow in the Lord. And I want to tell you, there's nothing like sitting down with God's people and discussing the Scriptures. First thing you know, you'll be digesting the Word of God. You'll be eager to come to that class. Come, give her a whirl. Find you an adult class. If you say, well, you know, I went to Sunday school when I was a kid, and I've heard this, you know, that I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. And people just, they got up and they read those Sunday school quarterlies. You know what I'm talking about? And that was Sunday school class. And you don't want to go to a Sunday school class and be read to. I understand. Okay? We don't do that here. We teach here. Now, we read the Word of God. But we're going to break down the Word of God. And we're going to talk to you about what the Word of God says. We're not going to read some book to you. You need Bible time. You won't get enough just for the 30-minute message that I'm going to do on Sunday mornings. You need more. You need more. You see, what happens is, and oftentimes when spiritual education is not emphasized, whether among our kids or among ourselves, what happens is we grow up and we become doctors and lawyers and pharmacists and all this good stuff, and that's good, but we don't know how to deal with life. Because I want to promise you this. When you grow up, you better be ready, if you are a child of God, to face attacks of Satan. Bible describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you're a child of God, there is nothing that he would not desire more than to tear you down. Okay? You got to know how to fight. How are you going to know how to fight? You got to have the battle manual. It's right here, you know? You've got to know how to respond. You realize, for example, give you an example. We grow up and we get married. And we don't have a clue how to be married. If you get out of here, you don't have a clue how to be married. If you don't have this guideline, you will not have a clue how to be married. You say, Brother Doug, how can you be married? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Go study in Ephesians chapter 5, right? Wives, honor your husbands. Two big things. If you want to lay the foundation, you do those two things and you'll grow a marriage. But what about the times when crisis comes? How do you know when you lose that loved one or when you deal with whatever and it seems like life's falling apart? If you don't know, if you don't have a spiritual education, you don't know how to deal with it. You want to know why people are falling apart? Because they don't know how to use the Word of God. Because they've not dedicated themselves to a spiritual education. You've got to understand, we're talking the wisdom of God. Okay? That means, and listen to me, it's important. If this is God, do you believe this is the wisdom of God? Do you believe this is the wisdom of God? If you do, it will show in the way you treat it. You'll come and you'll be involved in a Bible study. But not only will you be involved in a Bible study, you'll be involved in Bible study at home. Okay? This is the manual you need for life. This is God's wisdom. And He's laid it before us. Use it. We'll move on. Not only is it the wisdom of God, it's the mystery of God. Oh, it just gets better and better. Verse 7, Paul said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That word mystery, you know what a mystery is, right? Something that somebody doesn't know. That Greek word literally means it's a divine secret. Did you know that God has had a secret? God had a secret. He says, not only is it a mystery, the hidden wisdom. Not only did God have a secret, He hid that secret. He concealed it from the very beginning. And that word, which He ordained before the ages for our glory. That word ordained means to predetermine. So what's it saying? It's saying that God had a secret that He predetermined before time even began. The good news is the last part of that verse, which ordained before the ages for what? For our glory. That God had a secret, and this secret was for you, for your good. This secret was something you needed. But He concealed it from the very beginning. See, here's the mystery part. Verse 8 says, which none of the rulers of this age knew. None of the rulers of that age. The scribes, the Pharisees, for example, they didn't know who Jesus was. Oh, they heard the claim, but they did not know who Jesus was. The Sanhedrin, they did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. The Roman government did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. Not only did they not know, they did not care. Philosophers of that day did not know. Why do I keep harping on that? Because had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you realize that this God secret from the foundation or before the world was created, it had to be concealed? Because if God did not conceal it, Jesus would have never been crucified. I'll go a step farther. I think even the Old Testament prophets didn't have a big picture of what Jesus was going to be. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were looking for a Messiah, but they were looking for a Messiah to come on their terms. They wanted a Messiah to come and deliver them from Roman occupation. They wanted the Messiah to come and rule the world. But that wasn't the Messiah, God's Messiah, Jesus Christ at that time. Do you know even Jesus' apostles did not have the full picture? That's why Jesus kept telling him, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I've got to be killed, and I'll be raised from the dead. And that's, what? One time Peter even argued with Jesus. Jesus was telling that, and Peter said, oh no, I won't allow it. Peter himself said, no, that's not going to happen. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You don't get it. You know, when you think about that, it gives new meaning. When Jesus was on the cross, you remember his prayer? Luke 24, Father, what? Forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. Yep, they didn't have the big picture. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now let's take this to the next step. You see, in verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. He's still talking about the same secret. Still talking about, and listen, we take this verse of Scripture and we apply it as this is what? This is heaven. This isn't really about heaven. Okay? This is about the plan. The plan of salvation that was made before the earth was created. You see, man could never have thought of this plan of salvation that God set in place before creation. Man would have never thought that his sin had to be paid for. Man would have never come up with the idea of how can he mend that broken relationship with God. The best that man could do was like through the scribes and the Pharisees who would say, well, keep the law. Well, come to the temple on the feast days, and they'd come up with all this stuff that you could do, but it never fixed the sin problem. Because man could not come up with such a plan. I'm still amazed at people today. If you ask, are you saved? They say, well, I'm as good as anybody else. That's not the question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, if they're saved, I'm saved. It's not the question. What's your plan? You see, you got to have a plan. The wonderful thing about where we live today, and we're going to get into this in just a minute, is that God has revealed it. You see, this plan doesn't have to be a secret anymore. The sin debt of man was paid on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. When everybody stood around the cross and was mocking Jesus, and Jesus was praying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But you know what? God knew what He was doing. God knew that man's only hope was someone to intervene, that someone being a sinless Lamb of God, which was Jesus Christ, who died for the sin of mankind. See, now we're going to get into the revelation of God. We're going to get to the big plan of God. It says in verse 10, that first line is all we're going to cover today, or at this time. Tonight we're going to get on a little deeper, okay? But there it says, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. God has revealed them to us. That word reveal, the Greek word is apokalypsis. And it means to make known that which was concealed. See, God healed it, or God had concealed it. But there in verse 10, He said, but God has now revealed it. How blessed you are and I am to live in the age that Jesus Christ and the plan of God has been revealed for all the world to see, for you to see, for me to see. How glorious it is to know that I'm not trying to live up to some standard created by some religious people, but rather I'm saved by the grace of God. My sin has been forgiven because Jesus paid for my sin on the cross of Calvary. You see, they could have never imagined such a thing before, but now we see it. You know, you've always heard hindsight's 20/20. God has revealed it. Well, now, this is where some would say, you know, the naysayers and the skeptics, they say, well, Brother Doug, if what you say is true, Jesus being crucified was God's fault. Because he could have let those scribes and those Romans know who Jesus was and delivered him. You're exactly right. It was God's fault. Why was it God's fault? He set the plan in motion before the foundation of the world. But here's, you have to understand the why. John 3:16. See, this is about God being revealed. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We've said that over and over and over. But what you have to realize is John 3:16 is a revelation of who God is. God is love. Why did God let His Son go to the cross of Calvary? Because He loved you and me. Do you see the plan? Do you see the plan? God had this plan in motion from the very beginning. Why did God do it? Because He loved. God's been revealed, or God's love has been revealed. So, but we can't stop at verse 16. You see, we have to go to verse 17 to really understand. See, God loved us so much, and He looked at us and saw our sinful condition and no hope for deliverance. Verse 17 of John 3 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Here's what you have to understand. This is what the world thinks. They look at the church today and they think the church is condemning them. No. See, as Jesus looks at you in love, He's not looking at you in condemnation. You're already condemned because of your unbelief. He sees your condemned condition. And He loved you so much that He presented His Son as His lamb to be sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Because you're already condemned. My friends, that is love. That is the revelation of who God is. Today, that's what I want you to get. If you're a child of God, I want you to understand we live in the greatest age ever because we see the plan. God has revealed it to us through His Spirit. Never take that plan for granted. Never act like it doesn't matter because it does matter. But if you're lost, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to back up and take notice. God had a plan from the beginning of time, and that plan was for our salvation. And you today are brought here because God loves you and wants you to be saved. You see, today you may have went through that religious game, and you've tried to do the best that you can do, but deep down inside you know it's not good enough. Deep down inside you know you need help. Listen, the only help for all of us is Jesus Christ. The only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. That's the mystery. And you know what? When you're saved, it's amazing what God does when you're saved. You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get into tonight's message, but you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And God lives within you. And He opens your eyes to the truth of the Scripture. Today, if you're not saved, the first step is to come this invitation and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, if you are saved, maybe you've taken for granted and not really stopped and thought the price that was paid for you. Glory to God, I'm going to heaven when this life is through by the grace of God, but my salvation was not free. Jesus gave it all so that I could have it all. Are you saved? Maybe you're here and there's another need that God has put on your heart that He's leading you to become a member of this church, follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, rededication, whatever your need is. I would just ask you, listen to the Lord and follow His leading. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for revealing who You are through Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, that now we can see Your plan. And that plan did not end on Calvary, but Lord, it extends into the future. And we have a future with You because of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.